Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll be reading the verses 7 through 9. Hebrews chapter 13, we'll be reading the verses 7 through 9. Let us hear the inerrant, infallible word of God as it is read publicly here this morning. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. Thus the reading of God's word this morning. In Hebrews chapter 13, we've been learning that the author of Hebrews is addressing a covenant church community. He is describing the kingdom of God as no longer being recognized as a country or recognized as specifically a temple here on this earth, but the kingdom of God has become the church community, those who love Christ, who exist in His church as it is still here on this earth. And we've been learning of how we are to worship God and how we are to live to reflect Christ in this church community. And these are the things that He has gone through in the first part of Hebrews 13. He's told us, exhorted us as a church to love our brothers. He's exhorted us to keep marriage in high honor and the marriage bed pure. And He's exhorted us to not love our money and to keep our lives free from the love of money. Well, now the author of Hebrews is exhorting the congregation with a little bit different matter. He's exhorting and warning the congregation of a difficulty which is coming into their presence, which could have serious effects on their church and on their lives in Christ. Verse 7, he exhorts them to remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Now, why is he reminding them that they are to remember their leaders? Why this exhortation to remember the former leaders of the church, those who originally spoke the word of God to them? Well, the answer is in verse 9. Verse 9 for us describes the problem that they were facing. Verse 9 tells us, "Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings." Here in this church community, this New Testament church of Jesus Christ, there were other influences that were coming along, other teachings that were coming along that could have great and tremendous effects upon the church and their understanding of Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, what were these teachings? Well, the author is going to go through and describe them in more detail in verses 11 through 15. But for our purposes, we're going to just look initially at what the problem is without getting into much detail. And he describes that in the last part of verse 9. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. What is the problem here? What is the church facing? Well, there are those that are coming along and they're saying, well, for you to be strengthened in Christ and strengthened in your Christian life and to have grace from Jesus Christ, you need to eat ceremonial foods. You need to eat these foods and these will strengthen you in grace and strengthen you in your life in Christ. They are being told to do outward acts of works to experience the grace of God through Christ. They are also being told and encouraged to do an outward sort of visible thing that they can do as a person to increase the grace in their life. They are to take food. They are to be able to see and understand that before them is God's grace, and if they do this, they can take it in and they can know and have a greater experience of the grace of Christ that comes, or the grace of God which comes through Christ. This is serious errors. This is serious strange teachings that's coming into their lives. But this teaching and this understanding of the grace of God is certainly not anything that hasn't existed within the church all the way from the days of the Hebrews all the way to the present. Even today, as a church community, we face those who come into our midst or come to our homes or come up to us, wherever we are, and they have strange teachings. They have an idea in which they are trying to change our understanding of the grace of God and what we have to do to know the grace of God. Just as those in the Hebrews community were being told that they had to have certain foods, that they had to eat these to know God's grace, a works type of understanding of grace, just as that they were being encouraged that they needed to see visibly more things to experience the grace of Christ, so we have these things today. At our house in Oak Harbor here, we've had people come to our door. One particular person came to our door twice. The Jehovah's Witnesses came along and they tried to convince us that there were things that we needed to do in addition to knowing the grace of God that comes through Christ alone. They were encouraging us not only to have a different understanding of the Scriptures and their understanding of the Scriptures in their particular Bible, but they also were coming along and encouraging us to know that to inherit our salvation, we needed to work at gaining converts. We needed to actually do something to experience more grace in our lives and give us more confidence that there is grace that comes from Christ. Well, here's an example of a strange teaching that even still comes along today. We've also had those who came to our door and told us that we needed to be baptized in the Spirit to experience the entire grace of Christ. We needed to go to a different church, and because our baptism wasn't good enough, but we needed to have an additional baptism. And if we did this work of having an additional baptism, then we would truly know and understand the grace of Christ. Again, strange teachings that are coming along. Now, there are other examples. I'm sure you have experiences and so forth in which you could share. But even today, we face this thing as Christians. We face those who come from other churches with a different understanding of Scripture in various cases. Those who come from cults who have a Bible and then an additional Bible in which they try to give us and persuade us away from the grace we know through Christ. This is something that was prevalent for the Hebrews. This is something that's prevalent for us. So what was the solution for the readers of the Hebrews? What solution does the author wish to give them? Well, that solution to guard themselves comes from verse 7. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Now, who first spoke the word of God? Well, the author of Hebrews has addressed that in Hebrews 1, verse 1. The first verse of the book. Perhaps you want to turn there. Hebrews 1, verse 1. Here it tells us that in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed the heir of all things and through whom He has made the universe. In the past, in the Old Testament, so the author of Hebrews writes, God spoke to the church, to His people on earth, through prophets. But now in this new day, after the coming of Christ, after His death and the resurrection, God speaks to His church through His Son. The Word of God comes to us through Christ. He is the Word who has become flesh. But now go to chapter 2 and look at verse 3. Chapter 2 of Hebrews, verse 3. The first part, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? And then he goes on to write, this salvation which was first announced to us by the Lord. The Word of God came to us through Christ. Through the things that He said, through the way that He lived, through the understanding of His sacrifice on the cross and His death and His resurrection. This was the Word of God coming to Christ's church. But then he writes at the end of verse 3 of chapter 2, but was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. What was the function of the early leaders of the writers or of the readers of the book of Hebrews? What was the function of those first leaders? Their function was what? To carry on the word of God which came from Christ. Christ came and he left disciples. The disciples witnessed and lived with Christ. They saw how he lived. They heard the things that he preached. They saw him when he died on the cross, and they saw him when he had risen again. They had experienced Christ firsthand. And what did Christ do when he went to heaven? He told them, those disciples, the first members of his church, to go out and to spread the gospel to all the nations. They were to carry on the continuity of the word of God, of what Jesus Christ said, and they were to carry it on and pass it along to others. Well, now the author of Hebrews, in chapter 13, verse 7, sees that there are strange teachings coming into the midst of the church. And so what does he do? What does he remind them of? He calls them to remember the leaders who originally spoke that word of God. They spoke the word of God as it came from Christ. They were a link in the chain from Christ to the members of the church in Hebrews. They are to remember their leaders. They are to remember what was originally spoken to them. Well, not only that are they to remember the word, not only are they to remember what was said and to recall that, but look what else he writes in verse 7. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Now, when the author of Hebrews is writing about faith and calling them to imitate their faith, we need to remember what he's talking about. The author addressed faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, he writes, "Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Faith is that faith, even in the present, you know what's going to take place in the future, and you know that it's true as you live in the present. We looked at Noah, who was told to build an ark because the flood was coming. Well, did he see a flood? No. But he had faith that God's word was true and that a flood was going to come. We looked at Abraham. He was told to leave his country and go to another country. Did he know where he was going? Did he know where God was leading him? Did he understand it all? No, but he had faith. When God commanded him, he did it. Well, what was the faith of the early leaders of the church? The same kind of faith, but it was faith that comes from Christ. Remember Hebrews 12, verse 2? Hebrews 12, verse 2. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 2. "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." The early leaders of this church, of the Hebrews, those they are to remember, had the faith of Christ. They had faith that Christ was their Savior. They had faith that Christ was going to save them. They lived out their faith because they witnessed how Christ lived for them. His life, his suffering, as it's described in chapter 12, verse 2. They're to fix their eyes on him who endured the cross, who scorned its shame, who sat down at the right hand of God. They saw how he lived. They saw his life and what he did. And they were called not only to speak the word of God as he spoke to them and to carry that on, but they were called to imitate him, to give up from themselves, their own desires, their own things that they want, and to serve Christ. He went to the cross and gave up everything as a sacrifice for his church. So they are to go and to serve Christ as he served them. They are called to serve and not to be served. So they are to remember not only what the leader spoke, the word of God, but they are to imitate them and the kind of life that they lived. And where did the early leaders get their life from? They learned it from Christ. Now, why is this important? Well, verse 8 answers that question. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Christ does not change. What he did on that cross does not change. And what the author of Hebrews is reminding his readers is, look, Christ first spoke the word of God. The early leaders of your congregation carried on that word of God. Their function was to carry it on from Christ and to pass it on to you, and that you are to consider how they lived and know that that came from Christ because that's how he lived. And the message of Christ and what he did on the cross and how he was raised again, that doesn't change. That is the same message. Now you're going to have others, as he writes, others have come in with strange teachings. And they have tried to add to the Word of God by saying, look, you need to eat these ceremonial foods, then you will experience the grace of God. And we know this. We know this is true. And how are they to respond? They are to respond by remembering their leaders and how those leaders and what they spoke had authority. Now, was their authority the actual words of Christ? No. But their authority arose in that their duty and their commission from Christ was to carry on his word. Now, these leaders were sinners. They didn't carry it on perfectly, no doubt, because of their sin. But they did carry it on faithfully. And as they carried it on faithfully, the word of God that they passed along had authority because that's what Christ had commissioned them to do as the leaders of the church. Well, Christ doesn't change. And he has used the church to carry on his word, to carry on the message of salvation, that salvation is only through Christ alone and through no other means and no other work that you do. That's what it means that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday when he lived, today as we understand it, and he will be the same forever as he is in heaven. The message of Christ does not change. Don't be carried away by all kinds of teachings, but you can appeal to the church and what you learned from your early leaders. Now, what about us in our church? The author of Hebrews had early leaders that they are to remember. Here we are, a church plant. Who are our early leaders of the church? Well, the function of the church throughout history, not only for the Hebrews, but also for us, is to carry on the word of God as it came from Christ. Different leaders of the church, all throughout the history of the church, their duty was to carry on this word of God. Now, we have the scriptures, and we have them as they are presented to us, and this is the word of God. But partly the duty of the church is to carry on that word in how they live, in that they believe it, and that they know it is true. And the function of the church and of the early leaders is to make sure that the understanding of that word of God and how it is preached remains pure. Well, if you turn in the back of your hymnals, we can see some examples of who our early leaders of the church are. If you turn to page 845 and 846, you will see that the leaders of our church, those of the OPC, have included creeds in the back of their church, in the back of our hymnals. And these creeds are for a specific purpose. You will see on page 845 the Apostles' Creed. You will see on page 846 the Nicene Creed. And throughout these creeds, as we read them and we understand them, we can know that early leaders of the Church of Christ had to deal with various issues in the life of the church and to answer specific errors and understandings of Christ and misunderstandings which were coming along, different waves of doctrine. They wrote creeds in response. And even today, as a church here in 1997, we benefit from what they wrote. We benefit from the early leaders of the church and what they taught about Christ. If you look on page 846, The issue which was prevalent during the writing of the Nicene Creed was there were those who were denying that Jesus was God. And so they begin to answer that in the Nicene Creed. If you look on the second line, "And in one Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God." Now we benefit from what the leaders taught about Christ. How do we benefit? Well, if a Jehovah Witness comes to our door and they tell us Jesus was not God, we can go back in church history and remember what the early leaders said. Look at that second line. "And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God." If you notice further, next to the Nicene Creed, you will see the Westminster Confession of Faith and the Westminster Shorter Catechisms, as we looked at this morning. Now these are man-made written documents, but their function throughout the history of the church was for us to be sure that as those who have carried on the gospel will have a proper understanding of the grace of God that comes through Christ. You see, Christ does not change. He is the same yesterday as He was when He came to this earth. He is the same today as He was for the Hebrews, as He is for us. He is the same in the future. And we are to use church history and the early leaders of the church and those who have written the Nicene Creed, the Westminster Confessions, and so forth, to help us have an understanding of Christ so that we don't go off into strange teachings. These creeds have a function. This is how we even today are remembering the early leaders. Those who carried on the understanding of the Word of God and how it was taught and how it was used. Now, we don't take our creeds and say, "This is the Scriptures." No, we say, "This is the Scriptures," but the creeds have a function in our understanding of the Scriptures so that when strange teachings come along, we don't fall away and go off into strange things and a misunderstanding of grace which comes to us through Christ. Even in our day, there are those who are critical of creeds, those who are critical of the confession and using them as a denomination. But we use them because of this text and because of this reason. God has given us a church for 2,000 years. And throughout that history, since the coming of Christ, the Word of God is to be understood as salvation alone through Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. No other way, no other strange teaching. Now in our church, Sovereign Grace OPC, we work hard at keeping in touch with the early leaders of the church and those who have carried on the Word of God. You will notice that in the morning, we go through the Westminster Shorter Catechism so that the doctrine of the church and the understanding of Scripture continues to be throughout in the light of the people. At night, we are going through the Westminster Confession of Faith, understanding what they are saying and the reasons why they have written the things that they have. At the end of this month, again, we are going to celebrate a Reformation Day. Well, not only will we look at what was taught during the Reformation, but we will be sharing and giving an understanding of things, of the way that people lived, the way that Luther lived, the way that Calvin lived, so that we have an understanding not only of what they taught and said, but also their way of life, and how their way of life was representative of Christ. They're dying to themselves, risking their lives for the sake of Christ and for His truth, and because they knew with all their hearts that the grace that comes through us doesn't change, but it alone is through Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Preachers change. You can have one preacher come in, a different preacher, you call a different man, a different place. Churches sometimes change. But the Word of God never changes. And Christ never changes. When you have a new preacher, he should be preaching the same message. When you have a new church, or when you have a church, the same message should continually be preached and taught throughout their history. Let us thank God for the creeds, for the early church leaders that not only He gave to the Hebrews, that He's given to us. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, this morning that You have given us Your Word, and that the Word which was spoken by Jesus Christ could be carried on for 2,000 years to even us here. Lord, we thank You for those throughout church history who have died for their faith in Christ, who have died for the Word of God, who knew with all their heart that Jesus Christ never changes, and the salvation that He brings to us and the sacrifice that He made on the cross never changes. We thank You, Lord, for those who died for their faith and their understanding of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that You would help us to be aware of strange teachings which come our way. Lord, may we use Your Word. May we use the creeds and church history to understand and confirm our understanding of Christ and that He does not change. Lord, may You ground us in an understanding of Your Word and Your doctrine, so that we know and understand when those come along and try to persuade us or cause us to change in our understanding of Jesus. Lord, may You keep us faithful. May You strengthen our church through our understanding of church history, through our understanding of creeds, and mostly, Lord, through our understanding of Jesus Christ. May our lives not only reflect our knowledge of Him, but Lord, help us to imitate Him. Help us, Lord, to serve Him. We pray this all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.